Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Spirit Travels Radio. Normally, I have an opening song, but I'm having some computer difficulties. Our guest this evening is Leonard Peltier, Defense Offense Committee. And just as soon as I can get this up and running, I will have them on. So please bear with me momentarily. I do apologize for that. In the meantime, Jolene, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing. I'm right with you. I'm doing fair. Don't worry. Everything will work itself out. Tonight's program. You want me to go? Can I go ahead and say this?
Yes, by all means, okay. Do. While you're doing that, I'm going to work on the technical stuff
right
here.
I thought we could do that. Tonight's program is in honor of Leonard. I wish that he could hear us. I know his spirit is listening. Leonard, this is for you. This is for Pine Ridge. This is for Rosebud. This is for all indigenous people across the United States. This is for my people. This is for everyone who was born an American Indian and who will die an American Indian. Our people are strong.
I have our board back up now, so I'm going to start bringing everybody on. And well, I did.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on here with this. This is just crazy, crazy.
I know.
All right, here we go. First caller. Actually, I'm going to bring everybody on now, so that way we're set in case it messes up again. Hello?
Yes, Michael Wolfhart, Austin, Mexico.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. Thank you.
I'm glad you're doing well. I'm glad I got you. I'm having some technical difficulties.
Okay.
I managed to get on, and I know that our other two, Peter and Delaney, are also on. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to bring them in. Now, I do apologize.
Okay.
I had everything set to go this evening differently, and I wanted it.
Okay. All right. We'll get Delaney and Peter on there. I think Barbara will be on before Peter.
Okay. I have another one on. Hello?
This is Delaney.
Hi, Delaney.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh, I'm glad I have everybody on now. I do apologize. I had a very pretty start song that was going to have Leonard's voice, and he was talking in it, and I was just not able to get it to pull up. I've had difficulties with the switchboard, and started having problems about 10 minutes before the show started. I do apologize, but we are live, so we can continue. So let's begin. Oh gosh. So do you want to start with telling us about Leonard and about what kind of bring us up to date about him and his life and what's going on with him at the moment?
Who would you like to speak?
Go ahead, Delaney.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Leonard is incarcerated at the United States Penitentiary in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and that's where I'm calling from this evening. Right now, he is in solitary confinement, like many of the prisoners there at Lewisburg. Solitary confinement is a serious problem in this country. I know that listeners in California are well aware of the hunger strike recently that happened with many of the inmates there in the California system. And one of the things they were protesting was the use of solitary confinement. It's a very cruel practice. It's, it was actually condemned by the UN a very long while ago. It was accepted by the U.S. Supreme Court as cruel and unusual punishment. So that people understand what this means, a prisoner is locked down, confined to a very small cell, 6 by 8, 23 hours a day, generally with no human contact or very little. They're not allowed reading materials or television, radios, any kind of personal property. If they have visitation rights, they're very limited. In Leonard's case, the only visitors he can have at this time are members of his legal team. And we have been able to get people in to see him roughly every week since this nightmare began for Leonard 5 weeks ago. Usually, any human contact that does occur, the prisoner is in restraints and usually behind some sort of barrier. So they are no contact visits. And solitary has really serious negative effects on any prisoner that's subjected to this. You know, it can create depression and decreased brain function, even hallucinations. Leonard has told us that an elderly prisoner, several cells down, roughly about 2 weeks ago, attempted suicide. They are also here in Lewisburg in a part of the prison that isn't necessarily air-conditioned, and everybody's heard about some of the extreme heat here on the East Coast. And it's been so bad that he can't even write letters because he's perspiring so heavily that, you know, the sweat just rolls down his arms and soaks the paper. And the prisoners are having to sleep on the floor at night just for the coolness of the floor. And it's affecting their appetite and their ability to sleep and whatnot. So, you know, those are added tortures, I guess you could say, to this particular situation.
May I ask, this is Bright Sun speaking. I am in Virginia. Many of the Lakota people have come down to Virginia to see us and had sweat for many years long ago too. And may I ask, what brought this on? What why are they doing this to him?
Well, you know, it's the whole thing's a little bizarre. A well-meaning supporter sent Leonard a 20-pound note, which is the currency for the United Kingdom. And somehow it made it through to Leonard. Now, it never should have because they do search his mail, but somehow it got to him. He immediately tried to mail it out to one of the members of our board of directors at the Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee. And, of course, they searched his outgoing mail as well.
Right.
So they found this 20-pound note. And they accused him of being in possession of money, which is an infraction inside the prison. And that triggered a search of his cell. One of his former cellmates, someone who's been long gone, over a year, had tampered with some of the wiring in the overhead light on the cell. And I don't really know why. I've heard several explanations for this, and I know that Leonard was dead set against the guy doing it. They argued about it. The guy apologized. Leonard thought it had been taken care of. And this is beyond, you couldn't apparently even see these wires. But when the guards were searching, a guard ran his hand up against the light fixture or whatnot, found the wires, grabbed them. Allegedly was shocked. The prison admits that the guard was not injured. However, they charged Leonard with assault. even though Leonard never laid a hand on this guard. Now, this is a very serious, serious charge within the federal system. So they threw him in solitary, and they have taken away many of his privileges for a good six-month period. They are also planning a disciplinary transfer, and that's actually a piece of this we're very concerned about. Lewisburg is bad enough as prisons go, but there are worse prisons. So we're very concerned. We won't even get prior notice when he's transferred. We won't know until he arrives at his new destination even where he is. So the biggest fear is that they might choose to put Leonard in a supermax, in which case he would be on lockdown for the rest of his life, basically.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
Exactly what they want.
It's a very strange situation, and bottom line, in both instances, these were completely unfounded charges.
Yes.
The punishment is extreme. This is a man who has had no infractions on his record for over 15 years. We find the timing of this even a little curious.
Yes, it is.
And it puts him in a different light. You know, with a charge of attacking a guard on his record, it makes him appear to be a violent man. And up until this point, even all the prison personnel have said that Leonard is not at all violent.
No,
so,
he's not.
We do suspect that, you know, this is about
possibly
influencing decisions mm-hmm. that might be made during the Obama administration in particular. You know, it's an argument that they now can make of why he should never be released. And as I said, it's also an argument for putting him in a much more restrictive environment and permanently. This
because
is an almost 67-year-old man in poor health, you know. And this is really dangerous for his health.
Yes.
And they know it. So,
and that's what they
want. Yeah, I think they're taking full advantage of this incident, mm-hmm. and, you know, the people out there have to stand up and say, no, you're not doing this in our name.
No.
You know?
No. I read his book, My Life is My Sundance, and I could hardly put the book down, and there were many times in reading the book, which Swamp Rat had when we went to Barnes & Noble, he had bought two, one for him and one for myself, because we are so dedicated to the traditionalism of our culture. And there were times the tears just ran down my face, because it was like Leonard was explaining to me through his words on one-on-one what it was like to be there and the loneliness and his many words of wisdom that he would share through the pages. I keep it right next to Dennis's book, Ojibwa Warrior, The Rise of the American Indian Movement, because both of them are warriors. And the book, I would tell anybody, if you want to know how his heart, where his heart is, and what it is like for him, read his book. He explains everything to you. But this, to me, because I am one who would call the White House in a heartbeat and ask President Obama or his aides or whoever, why are you doing this? What is this for? He being half American Indian himself, I would think would stand up for his people and say, yeah, first of all, he needs to be pardoned out of there immediately. And this is something that that everybody here in Virginia, all the dedicated people at the powwows, everyone, you know, they are in full force as far as having Leonard released out of any prison.
Most definitely. I mean, and his book is a powerful book. I recommend it to anyone. It's called Prison Writings, My Life is My Sundance.
Yes.
And as regards Leonard's case, everybody should pick up a copy of In the Spirit of Crazy Horse by Peter Matheson, and also The Trial of Leonard Peltier by Jim Messerschmidt. Both of those books are pretty comprehensive in terms of the massive injustice that has been done to Leonard by the federal government. And, I mean, you know, why doesn't Obama do something? Because it's a highly political case. And we haven't given up on Mr. Obama.
No.
We won't give up on Mr. Obama. And we certainly hope, you know, I mean, Mr. Obama is a former constitutional law professor. We shouldn't ever have to explain to him about the constitutional violations that have occurred in Leonard's case, beginning with his extradition and all the way through to the now. You know, these recent charges, you know, Leonard was basically tried, convicted, and sentenced internally. It was done in the prison. He wasn't allowed to have an attorney represent him in any way. He does have the ability, apparently, to appeal. But again, you know, he would have to have, you know, one of the prison inmate lawyers or someone possibly argue his case for him. You know, and with these cases inside of a prison, you know, the deck is always stacked against the prisoner, in particular if it's a prisoner against the guard. It's not, by any stretch of the imagination, a truly fair hearing. I mean, the prison actually did acknowledge that Leonard did not actually attack the guard, but nevertheless, you know, faulted him for not reporting the wiring problem. Now, the prison knows full well the prison culture. It's not something you do to, you know, go and tell the prison guards what another prisoner has done. That puts your own life in jeopardy, quite frankly.
Yes.
And they're well aware of that, you know. But, you know, they're going to blame Leonard nevertheless. And there's the culture of, you know, collective punishment as well. They have no problem punishing someone for an act committed by someone else. You know, and that also is just inherently unfair.
It's very unfair. What about, you were talking about his health. Would you mind to tell us a little bit about what's going on with his health, and is he getting medical treatment like he should?
As far as we know, he's receiving his medications, but in this extreme heat and not eating properly, and we're somewhat concerned of whether he's being able to keep properly hydrated. You know, this is still kind of a dangerous situation for him personally. He has severe diabetes, a heart condition that has been a side effect of that. Supporters may recall that Leonard also suffered a stroke some 20 years ago. He's at very high risk for a whole lot of diabetes-related side effects. And he recently went through a cancer scare, and it took basically 2 years to have that dealt with properly. Luckily, he does not have cancer at this point in time. But like I said, it took 2 years to actually rule out cancer. The healthcare system inside the prison is definitely substandard. So, you know, I mean, obviously these conditions, I mean, anybody who has diabetes knows how important diet is to controlling your diabetes. I mean, he says the heat is maybe he's lost his appetite pretty much. And they're not monitoring his blood sugar. There's, you know, he's not allowed to go to the infirmary to test his blood sugar levels. Well, they don't let him out of the cell. The only time he's allowed out of that cell is for 1 hour a day, and that's only Monday through Friday. They move him to a bigger cell in which he can walk around. And
yes.
That they call exercise.
Circulation. Yeah.
That's exercise. And that is the only time he is allowed out of that cell unless his lawyers have come in to visit with him.
But if anything happens to Leonard, us as his people, we can outright accuse them of murder because that's exactly what they'll be committing.
That was my question. Are they liable?
They are liable.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are on the air. Necessarily on a legal basis. Because it can be somewhat difficult to sue the U.S. government. You do have to remember this prison system is the U.S. government. We were fortunate this week. I don't know if people noticed, but I think it was on August 1st, the New York Times issued an editorial on the issue of solitary confinement. They took the position that the practice should end. It wasn't, directly connected to Leonard's situation, but to all the prisoners throughout the United States who are being subjected to this kind of treatment. And there's, a minimum of 20,000 prisoners in solitary as we speak. It doesn't make sense that this practice continues. It costs more to build these solitary units. It costs more to house prisoners in these units, almost twice as much. And the bottom line is anybody deprived of normal human contact is going to have some serious side effects from that. And many of these prisoners are released back into the communities, broken people. And that tends to suggest that the crime rate will increase. This is just something that, frankly, taxpayers shouldn't stand for. It's not cost-effective, and it's not keeping their communities any safer. It's largely being done for the convenience of the prison guard unions, allegedly to protect the guards. I would argue anybody who takes a job as a prison guard must accept that it is a dangerous occupation. It's not any different, really, than a police officer or a fireman. I mean, there's risks associated with the job.
Go ahead. I didn't. Who was?
No, that was just me. I just went to say the only. I live in Virginia, so I'm about 2.5 hours from Washington, and it would seem to me, and he received, President Obama received 90% of Native America voting him in, and he knew that. He knew that 90% of our people voted him into office gladly, with heart and soul and spirit, to see someone come in with native blood of his own, knowing that he would take care of health care for our people, take care of education for our children. The reservations would have be taken care of. The health care hospitals on the reservations would have plenty of what it takes to take care of all the health, everything it takes to take care of all the people. And it just on the reservations everywhere. And it seems to me that he would look at this and realize who put him into office. And for him to know that Leonard is in this type of condition, and I know after reading his book what type of, and he talked about solitary confinement in one part of his book, that this could, it wouldn't take a lot he has a very strong, very, very strong spirit. I'm sorry, my son just, what's wrong?
We got a problem.
I don't understand how they can leave them in there without any type of air conditioning, or whether it's poor or what the case, but, you know, they need to make sure that they are not in that type of situation like he's in, and for the solitary confinement for 6 months over something he had no control over.
My understanding is that there's only one part of this particular prison that even has air conditioning. I mean, even normally, if Leonard were in his normal cell, he would not have air conditioning. They don't have fans. The cell he was living in, the floor would actually sweat, I guess from the humidity. So he had to put something down so he wouldn't slip and fall. Across the hall, when an inmate flushed his toilet, feces would come up into Leonard's toilet. So he had to fashion a lid to control for the odor, and you can well imagine, you know, the health hazard there. I mean, this is a serious issue when it comes to transmission of disease, even. This is a very old prison. It's not in the best of shape. And in this country, you know, let's face it, people have the attitude that, well, those people are in prison to be punished. They shouldn't be comfortable. And that's part of the problem in this country is that many people don't understand that much of what's going on in this nation's prisons is just unacceptable, you know.
Right. I agree. It's very much unacceptable. There's no sense in that type of treatment, you know, to him. I mean, of course, we know in Leonard's case that he was being charged with something that he did not do. And I was reading over some stuff today, and there was a statement there that said that they admit that they had no evidence that he had actually pulled the trigger involving those two FBI agents. And my question is if they know that, then why can they not release him? I mean, the government knows this. They know that there was no evidence proven that he'd done it. So why not release him after all these years, even before now?
Well, during one of Leonard's later appeals, the U.S. government took a different stance. And that was that he was guilty of aiding and abetting. Under the law, someone who has aided and abetted pays the same penalty. It was kind of a smoke and mirrors thing. They got caught red-handed, basically, before the appellate court, having hidden proof of his innocence. And specifically, I'm referring to the ballistics evidence that proves that Leonard did not pull the trigger. You know, and the prosecutor turned right around and basically said, we didn't have to prove that he pulled the trigger. He was there. He's an aider and abetter. And unfortunately, the court accepted that to a degree. They applied, you know, Leonard was not given a new trial on a legal technicality. And it was based on a Supreme Court ruling and the fact that had the jury heard the actual evidence, the ballistics evidence, would they probably have acquitted him or only possibly? The appellate judges said it wasn't a strong enough case to warrant a new trial, so they denied his appeal. However, one of those judges twice wrote in support of an award of clemency to Leonard. He obviously was bothered enough by that ruling and the things that were revealed during his appeals you know, that he at least spoke up on Leonard's behalf. He stated outright that the government was equally as responsible for what happened on June 26, 1975. We technically feel that the government was the aggressor in that shootout. Leonard's co-defendants were found not guilty by reason of self-defense. Leonard's actions that day were no different than his co-defendants. Had he been tried with them, he'd be walking among us today. And you brought up the nations. You know, many of the tribes are quite pleased with President Obama and many of the things that he has done for them. I would encourage everyone to approach their tribal governments. They need to make Leonard part of the agenda. You know, when they go to the White House, when they attend White House conferences and whatnot, you know, Leonard needs to be on the list of things they're asking for. Unfortunately, I think many of the nations who have supported Leonard in the past, you know, they have their own agenda. You know, they're trying to take care of their people on their lands, and that's understandable. But this is a case that affects all of us, Native and non-Native. This isn't how our country is supposed to work. It's not how our criminal justice system is supposed to work. And certainly, you know, Obama has more, you know, humanitarian reasons, constitutional reasons. He's got plenty of reasons to do the right thing here. And what we have to do as supporters is to provide the political will for him. And that means those phone calls have to go to the White House, letters, emails, constantly. And we have to build the momentum. And, yes, the tribal governments play a role in this. They have a voice. And, yes, they need to also be encouraged to use that voice on Leonard's behalf.
Right, I agree. Now, I wanted to ask each of you what role do you have with the committee, and how long has this committee been put together in his defense?
Michael?
Okay. I've been a supporter, you know, with the LPBOC since 1997. This is the first time I've been in any real extreme active role. I've been involved for about a year now as a regional organizer here in the Southwest states. You know, all the titles are kind of confusing, but my role basically is to, you know, just gather more support, which I've been doing quite a bit of with the help of Peter Clark and his wife Barbara there, trying to raise awareness and get people actively involved. You know, it's not that we do not support, you know, people that want to support privately, but in a recruiting process and trying to get people to do official, you know, to become official LPVOC members. And it's very important for many reasons, you know, for people going out to the powwows or going out into the community. Sometimes you will run into a situation where you may need a permit for an event, or you may be at a powwow where you want to table and, you know, pass out literature. It's important that you're a credentialed official chapter member. That way, if you ever are approached, you know, with a situation where someone's asking you, who are you and what gives you the right to support Leonard in this way, collect donations, sell merchandise, what have you, you are credentialed and are, able to do that. And most, you know, 9 times out of 10, once they know you're a credentialed member, you know, the problem stops. They stop asking those questions and they work with you. So that's kind of what my role's been, is to try to gather more support, get people directly involved, and, keep the momentum going. And, that's a team effort, and that's pretty much what my role has been for the past, 10, 11 months.
Okay. Yes,
hi,
Michael,
Peter,
I'm
not
serious.
Sure if I'm on the air.
Hey, Peter, you are.
You're there.
I just flew in from Dallas, and boy, are my arms tired.
just got my luggage in the car, but I've been able to listen this whole time. I wanted to just elaborate on what Michael said. You know, he's been doing a fantastic job. He's our main recruiter, I would say. He spends probably hours and hours a day just reaching out to people and trying to get new chapters going. And then once they get into the mix, then we all communicate with them and try and help them be active. Many of them are new to being activists, per se, and it's a learning curve. You know, you have to learn how to get out in the community, what to do. Delaney is in Lewisburg for a vigil this weekend, and that vigil was, you know, pretty much initiated by one person, a chapter run by Natasha in Pennsylvania, and because she committed to the date, that was the date that was set, and we're hoping that there's at least a few dozen people there now. So things can snowball just with one person's commitment, and that's what we try to do, is encourage people to get out, keep communication open between the chapters, and keep reaching out. And then also to touch on some things that Delaney was saying, and get back into Leonard's case, you know, how can they say that he aided and abetted a crime that was found to be not a crime, it was found to be self-defense? So it's just them shadow dancing and changing their position to keep Leonard in prison. And then our host, one of our hosts, I'm sorry for missed her name at the beginning, is from Virginia, and was asking about the other tribal nations and what they can do. I would encourage her to reach out to everybody she knows and to keep in mind that they have this Tribal Nation Summit or conference each fall, and we need to get as many people as we can there. That's in Washington, D.C., hopefully again at the Department of Interior this fall. It'll be short notice, as it was last year. They only had announced it a month before the actual date of the conference, which was December 16th last year. But we need to have a strong showing at the conference this year. We can't let them think we've gone away. We need to let them know that we've gotten stronger and momentum is built, and we're not gonna stand for this. So my wife and I, you know, we work with Delaney and Michael, just reaching out and doing what we can every day to get people involved and keep the momentum going.
Yeah, I was checking last night, and I was looking at the numbers, and they're conflicting numbers. They're kind of hard to understand sometimes because we do have chapter members that move around a lot and people that, you know, join other chapters. But right now we're looking at roughly 120 something chapters worldwide. And that's a big number. And Delaney had touched on that the other day where, you know, that's probably the largest support network Leonard has had in close to a little over a decade. And that's good news, but we have to, you know, we have to constantly be, you know, on the phone with them and emailing them and keeping them motivated. And, of course, you know, sometimes they get caught up in where they feel like they're not doing enough because they see what other chapters are doing. And I just want to stress to the listeners as well, regardless of whether you're an official chapter or not, that every task is important, no matter how small, even if it is just one phone call a month or one email a week. So there is no task that's too small.
And just to show people, you know, I know a lot of people out there feel somewhat powerless when it comes to politics of any persuasion. But just in the last week or so, due to the efforts of some very hardworking folks who know how to dial a phone, we had people contacting Amnesty International here in the United States and also in London. We issued a call, asked supporters to back up that action, and they did. And as a result of that, on August 3rd, Amnesty International issued a public statement in support of Leonard and calling on the U.S. authorities to improve his prison conditions and that of all the other prisoners who are also with him in solitary. One of the things that came to light just in the last 2 weeks is that they did put someone else in Leonard's cell, the cell next to his has three men in it. Now, keep in mind, this is a 6x8 cell with a toilet in it, you know, and they basically get to sit there and stare at one another for most of any 24-hour period. This tends to suggest that there's a serious overcrowding problem in the isolation unit here at Lewisburg. It certainly appears that the practice is being overused, and, you know, we're really, really pleased that Amnesty made such a strong statement on all of their behalf. I know that's important to Leonard. One of the first things that Leonard said when contact was made with him after this began was, I want a big sign out in front, and it must read, close the torture chamber at USP Lewisburg. So, you know, Leonard wasn't only thinking of himself. He's talking about all the other prisoners who are being subjected to the same kind of treatment as he is.
He's a very, I've listened to some of his stuff. There was one, I was speaking with Michael about this one song in particular last night, and you can just hear the, he is a thinker. He's very much a fellow thinker from what I got from those words. And I think that, I'm hoping eventually that they will let him out permanently, because that's what needs to be done. And, that way he may go on to teach about his own issues and what happened, and maybe be a big voice for those that are in prison now that are going through the same thing that he's been through. But
I think, well, you know, Leonard's also an accomplished artist, and he has a lot to offer, you know. I mean, there's a lot he could teach, even about the culture and the spirituality. I think he will always be political to a degree, because that's just how he's wired. you're right, he's a very well-informed individual. He reads a great deal. He amazes me sometimes, the things he does know, even better than people out here. He knows, you know, he knew all about the national debt, if you can imagine that.
Oh.
And what it meant to each household. He knew this. And, I mean, he reads quite a bit and keeps up with what's going on out here as much as he possibly can, and in particular how it affects Indian country. That's always uppermost in his mind.
Now, what about the event? I know that there's an event tomorrow, which I know we were speaking some about it, but is that the only event that's coming up, or is there other stuff that's planned for the future?
Well, we have the vigil tomorrow evening, and that is basically focused on the whole issue of solitary. That isn't specific to Leonard, and that's really according to his wishes. We have reached out to the ACLU and the National Lawyers Guild and human rights organizations here in Pennsylvania, religious organizations here in Lewisburg. Everyone's invited. Anybody who cares about the treatment of prisoners and protecting human rights, we definitely would like to see them tomorrow evening. The next day we're actually hosting a rally for Leonard's freedom. It's a clemency rally. Peter mentioned the White House summit. That is generally held in November, presumably because November is Native American month. Seems to be a connection there. Last year they postponed it until December. But we know in general, you know, sometime in November it will be held. And we do need a strong showing there. Most of the tribes send representatives. It's an invitation-only kind of scenario with the White House, and they meet with various government officials. Usually Obama makes at least an appearance, sometimes several, depending on what's going on with his schedule. And the people who stand out and support Leonard are visible to all of these people. and that's very important. I think if people plan now, when we are able to announce a date, they'll be ready to go. And that's really what we're encouraging people to do. Start saving your pennies now. And keep it in mind that sometime probably in November, the issue, we're going to be issuing the call and asking people to come to Washington, D.C. for that day. And really stand up for Leonard and show the world, you know, that no, there still is a great deal of support for Leonard, and yes, it is time to let him go home.
I agree.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with her. That's okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that a lot of our chapters around the country and world are planning events in their own towns or cities, whichever that may be, around the date of Leonard's birthday, which is September 12th. A lot of chapters are having potlucks or just rallies in their hometown. So there's an important date throughout the year that chapters usually focus on having at least some kind of event. There is already planned in the Northwest for February 4th of 2012, a large march and rally that's headed up by the Tacoma chapter in the Northwest region. They've typically had some of the larger rallies, and they're going to have one on February 4th. So we're encouraging everybody to do something around September 12th and around February 6th, which would be commemorate the date of his arrest. So there's those dates throughout the year that we always encourage people to commemorate. And then, of course, June 26th, they had the Ogallala commemoration, and the coincidentally enough, that's the next day that Leonard got into the crisis he's in now. He put out a strong statement, and so many people feel it was retribution for that date, also the date marking the battle at the Greece, So this date throughout the year...
What a lot of people don't know is the date of the commemoration, Leonard was able to place a call to someone who's, you know, a standard person on his call list who was attending the commemoration this year. And Leonard had the opportunity to speak to many of the people who had attended the commemoration. So I'm fairly certain that the prison was well aware of that fact as well.
Right.
Oh, wow. So, do you think that if there's enough outcry that President Obama will eventually listen? That's what I'm hoping that he'll do.
It's really hard to predict. I think people do have to remember the first thing to remember about Obama is that he is a politician. We have to make it in his best interest to free Leonard. And yes, it requires an outcry. You know, we have lots of people, you know, who are active on the internet and things, and I would argue that the internet is an extremely important tool. It can have a serious impact. We do need people to get out on the streets more often, though. We need folks to get out and educate more people. There's an awful lot of people in this country who don't know who Leonard Peltier is, and we have to change that, especially our younger generations. You know, they haven't heard about Wounded Knee. They haven't heard about this Ogallala shootout. They don't know what has happened to Leonard or why it happened. And that's probably the most important part of it is the why. It really is a matter of building the momentum and, as I said, creating the political will that will allow Obama to do what we know is the right thing to do.
Right. I agree. Would you want to discuss what happened and the reason, everything that led up to his imprisonment?
Peter?
I always refer people to whoisleonardpeltier.info for real accurate information on that subject, but I can give a brief overview.
you know, they had, it was tumultuous times in the 70s to begin with. People, activists were more active and more, there was more militancy, and there wasn't this oppressive Patriot Act, which, you know, now you can't look crosswise at a police officer. But the AIM, American Indian Movement, was invited by the traditional elders and leaders of Pine Ridge to help protect them from what was called the Goon Squad, which was the tribal government at that time led by Dick Wilson. And there was several instances of violence and, of course, the takeover of Wounded Knee. But in that time period between Wounded Knee and 73 and the shootout in 75, countless, you know, there's, people throw out different numbers. You hear 60, you hear a couple hundred, but there's countless murders of traditional people and supporters of those traditional people on Pine Ridge, and I'm sure on the other reservations as well. So AIM was there at the request of the traditional leaders to protect them. And they were at a property of the Jumping, what's called the Jumping Bull property, Cecilia Jumping Bull and her family. And the premise is that the Bella had stolen some sneakers, and the two agents, Kohler and Williams, were following him to arrest him for these stolen sneakers. Now, why they would care about sneakers when they don't investigate murders is kind of obvious, that was a ruse for them to get onto this property where they knew AIM was, they were really planting gardens and doing their traditional things. Of course, they were ready to protect themselves, but many people feel, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest, that it was all set up to draw fire. And so the agents drove onto the property, claiming that they had spotted the seller driving a truck onto the property. Now, that never was substantiated. In fact, it was kind of disproved. But in any case, the shootout ensued. Bob Robidoux and Dino Butler were arrested shortly after the shootout in the summer. And as Delaney said, their trial, they were found not guilty by self-defense. And in the meantime, Leonard had felt that he would never get a fair trial, which was common at that time. All these trials were taking place in very racist environments. And so Leonard had gone to Canada, and that's a whole other constitutional and a bunch of illegal things happened behind getting him extradited from Canada. That was based on largely on coerced and false testimony of a woman who was, you know, forced to do so. And in any case, so Leonard was not allowed to present the same evidence that Bob and Dino were allowed to present. And in fact, Bob Robidoux he's since deceased in 2009, but he had, I don't want to even say admitted, but he had said that he was the shooter. He was the one who shot the fatal shots at the officers, or the agents, I should say. And he says it was self-defense to the end. And, you know, we have his word to go on. So why Leonard has even ever been convicted for what was found to be self-defense, this, again, points to the fact that the federal government wanted to get somebody on this charge. You could see it every time in the news when a police officer gets killed. It's much more important than when a common citizen gets killed. So this is the general background. And again, I'm not a scholar on the issue. I've read the books. I've read in the Spirit of Crazy Horse and done as much research as I can. But a lot of this information and good information is on our website, whoisleonardpeltier.info, including the trial transcripts from Leonard's trial. So we encourage everybody to go there. And while I'm talking, I just want to make a pitch. The Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee runs on a shoestring budget. We're all volunteers. We need funds to help organize these events, to help get people to the event. So please go to that website, and there's a button on there where you can click and donate through PayPal or whatever, however means you want. And I'll let Delaney follow up with any details on history that you may want to cover.
Well, I think what the audience should understand is that Leonard was targeted very early in the FBI's investigation without any real evidence. He was targeted along with his co-defendants merely because he was a member of the American Indian Movement. And then they built the case around him, which isn't the way an investigation is supposed to go. You know, the facts are supposed to lead to a conclusion, not the other way around. So I think people don't really have to take our word for it. They can view some of the FBI documents on our website. It shows the ballistics report that was hidden from the judge and jury at Leonard's trial that proves that Leonard did not shoot the agents. Basically, the prosecutors misled the jury and every opportunity that they could. At the appellate stage, even those judges asked, you know, who did Leonard Peltier aid and abet? Because as a legal principle, if his co-defendants were found not guilty, there wasn't a principle. There wasn't even a crime. So the prosecutor came back and said, well, maybe he aided and abetted himself, which makes no sense at all. So, and as I said, he wasn't given a new trial on a legal technicality. The judges didn't actually completely buy the whole aiding and abetting thing. But these are the kinds of machinations that the government has gone through for over 35 years now to try to keep this man in prison. Even 12 years ago, actually it was longer than that, when Leonard first filed an application for clemency, the FBI actually drew up a media plan of how they were going to counter this effort on Leonard's part to get an award of clemency from a sitting president. You know, I don't know, as a taxpayer myself, I really object to the time and the financial expense. I would love to see a full accounting of how much the FBI has spent to keep this man in prison. You know, they show up at every parole hearing. They pretty well blocked clemency during the Clinton administration. They are continuing with this kind of behavior, and they're doing it on our dime. You know, so even as taxpayers, we should be objecting to this behavior on the part of the FBI. Certainly, they have much more important things to do, but they never, ever forget Leonard. They have made a point of dominating the discourse when it comes to the national media. Back in 2000, I think it was, there was a major march in New York City on Leonard's behalf. There were thousands of people there. I was there. I witnessed it. There wasn't even one news report, even though a whole street in New York City was shut down for this march, leading up to the United Nations building. So a week later, FBI agents marched in front of the White House, and boy, that was, you know, transmitted into every American household as part of the evening news. And without a doubt, the FBI has completely controlled a great deal of the information that is going to the media, and much of the information that the media is given is inaccurate. And yes, they're continuing with this behavior. They will continue with it. And that's why we have to really work hard on building the support for Leonard, because somehow the truth has to be told.
I agree. I think so, too, that it definitely needs to come out. while you were talking, I was thinking about an incident a while back where I believe the United States agreed to the release of the, the bomber for the airplane over Lockerbie, Scotland, agreed to his release. And I have a real problem with that because this man, they knew, done this. You know, I mean, he was guilty, you know, I think it was like 200 and some people or so that perished in that plane crash. But yet they keep one man in prison without an ounce of it, a proof that he even committed the crimes that they're accusing him of. So, yeah, I have a real problem with that because it just shows what the government's capable of doing. If they want someone released, then fine. If not, we'll keep you here regardless of whether you did it or not. And that's basically how I see what they're doing to Leonard. They're just keeping him there. You know, it's...
And people should ask themselves, you know, why is the FBI to this day withholding over 140,000 documents related to the Peltier case? And they cite national security as the reason why they won't release these documents. Supporters probably don't think that's a very sexy topic to cover, but the bottom line is things like the ballistics report were found through some of the releases that have occurred. So our position on these documents is that there may very well be other evidence hidden in these documents that would lead to Leonard's freedom. You know, and so that's another thing that we keep pushing for, is demanding that the FBI release those very critical case documents. 140,000 documents.
And so there's still a petition, am I right, on our website for a release of the Freedom of Information Act of those documents. And there's also the Clemency Commission petition on that website. And, you know, many people may scoff at petitions, but having that many, as many names on a clemency petition as possible is very important. As Delaney mentioned, the phone call to Amnesty International you know, had an effect, and I'm sure that the Bureau of Prisons has been a little bit overwhelmed with phone calls from our Leonard's supporters. So people really need to have faith in their phone calls and in their letters having an effect, and we need those to multiply exponentially over the next months and year here, certainly through the presidential election, which this is a crucial time. You know, you can't really speculate on when and what the president will do, but the election certainly plays into that, you know, politics of that and what he will do and when he will do it. So this is a time for strong support. There's no guarantee that, certainly the way the economy is going, there's no guarantee that Obama will get reelected, and I sincerely doubt that a member of the opposing party would be anywhere near as likely to do something on behalf of Leonard as Obama might be.
I agree.
The other key to this is Attorney General Eric Holder. Eric Holder was the head of the Pardon Attorney's Office during the Clinton administration. He is very familiar with the Peltier case. He is going to have some influence probably on the decision. So we continue to go after him as well. He keeps saying to reporters that it's his job to do the right thing. We're demanding that he do the right thing. Even Eric Holder can conduct an executive review of the case. There is precedence for him vacating a conviction based on proven misconduct on the part of FBI agents and federal prosecutors. In this particular case, you wouldn't have to look very far. The courts have already acknowledged the misconduct that has gone on in the Peltier case. So we continue to pressure Mr. Holder as well. we certainly want people to also contact their members of Congress. You know, I mean, there's very important voices in Congress that can make a difference. But people do have to speak up and let these legislators know that this is a case that is of grave importance, and that we truly care about the ultimate outcome here. The Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians has sent resolutions to Washington. They're willing to accept custody of Leonard, assuming, you know, Leonard... Obama keeps talking about tribal sovereignty. He seems to truly understand tribal sovereignty, unlike many presidents before him. So the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians had tried to enter into nation-to-nation negotiations with the White House. Thus far, there's been no real response on the part of the White House. Leonard would be satisfied... to explain the whole clemency thing to people, the power to grant clemency, in this case, commute Leonard's sentence, lies solely with the President of the United States, and that's a power given to the President in the U.S. Constitution. He doesn't really have to follow any rules, and he basically can award clemency anytime he chooses to and under any conditions he chooses to. So, you know, he could release Leonard to the tribe. He could release Leonard on house arrest. I mean, there's all kinds of strategies that could be employed in this case. And some of this is probably getting Obama to think outside the box a little bit. There are ways of doing this that would probably satisfy all sides. But our issue now is that Leonard is aging. He's in ill health. He needs time with his family. Many of his family relationships have been severely disrupted by this long-term imprisonment. We'd like to see him have the opportunity to, you know, get to know some of these great-grandchildren whom he has yet to meet. You know, as well as just, you know, share a meal and do the average things that families do together. I mean, it's just a matter of people speaking up and often and loudly.
Right.
You know, and I don't, you know, I won't tell people not to send emails to the White House, but I have to tell you that writing letters and making those phone calls is far more effective. Primarily because it makes the White House staff work. We have discovered in the last couple of years, we have actually managed to educate many of the White House operators. They're getting to know the case quite well. Recently, when we did a call to action for people to call the acting director of the Bureau of Prisons, quite a few people actually got through to that office. They spoke to staff people. They were actually listened to, which was kind of a different occurrence. Tends to suggest that the gentleman in that seat right now is of a slightly different bent, maybe a little less hardcore. So we know we're getting through to people, but we need to make that a sustained effort and build it. We need people calling the White House from every part of the country. That's part of why we're doing such an aggressive job with recruiting chapters, because this entire country needs to be represented in this effort to show Obama that the support is wide and multicultural, multiracial. You know, it's not just indigenous peoples who care about this case. So it needs to be a very united effort. And, you know, frankly, you know, shows like this help a great deal. You know, thank you guys for having us on because, you know, it's like I said, it's very difficult to get, you know, standard media interviews and whatnot. And the Internet is a powerful tool. And, you know, you're doing your part to help educate people about this case who probably have never heard of Leonard Peltier. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. I actually learned about Leonard about 6 years ago, I believe it was, and that was through Jolene, who was with us earlier. Her call dropped, and I've been watching for her to come back on, but she hasn't as of yet. But she was the one that had talked to me about Leonard and told me a lot of things about him. And the more she talked, the more I understood, and the stuff she was telling me, you know, it was, okay, this can't be right. He can't be in prison because this doesn't sound like, you know, this was, that he'd done this. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I think he's innocent, as you all do too. And I think he should be brought home. He needs to come home. He's been there way too long, and it's been more than 35 years. He shouldn't have been there to begin with. And I'm hoping that this show will open the eyes of a few people that are listening. And maybe they'll get involved and start sending letters and stuff. But you all are more than welcome to come back on this show at any time.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Okay. I did want to mention not this wouldn't particularly apply to Leonard or apply to anybody in solitary. There are two senators who, one from Jolene's state, Virginia, Senator Jim Webb, who is not running for re-election, I understand. He has been particularly proactive on prison reform and outspoken on the need for a better prison system, per se, and also someone who hasn't spoken out about it but should be keenly aware of the torturous nature of solitary would be Senator John McCain. And those are two people that, aside from everybody contacting their own legislators, I think we should all really focus on those two gentlemen. Jim Webb, because of his already outspoken record on need to reform prison, and McCain, because of his own personal experience being a prisoner of war. So keep those phone calls up and the White House comment line 202-456-1111. Call every day if you can.
Okay. What about addresses? Are there addresses that you want to give out where people can contact as well, or then go to the website and find them there?
Yeah, well, the White House is... The White House is, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I think everybody knows that one. But, yeah, everything's on the website, whoisleonardpeltier.info. And Delaney also managed to get a legislator finder on there, so you can find the legislator for your state, your district, or what have you. And you don't only have to contact your own legislators. You can contact legislators from every state.
And be persistent, because, you know, there's a game that goes on in Washington. You know, they like to pass the buck, and or send you, you know, a standard letter of some sort that says something to the effect of Leonard Peltier was tried by a jury of his peers and convicted, and they think that's the end of the story. What I would suggest to people is when you get responses to that, keep writing. Keep arguing the points of the case that are highlighted on the website. Because many of the members of Congress currently don't know anything about the case. They're merely parroting what the FBI's position is. The members of Congress change all the time. There's a whole lot of very new people, and they have never been involved with this case at all. So part of this is about educating the members of Congress as well. And often that means educating a legislative aide that works in the congressman's office. If you can convince one of them, you know, they can be your voice in that congressional office. So be very persistent. Don't give up. keep writing, keep writing, keep writing.
Okay. Well, I hope that that something can be done soon. I really do. I do find Leonard a fascinating person. I've listened to some of his words and everything, and I will play the song I was talking about earlier at the end of the show. So we'll go out with Leonard's words. And I wanted to apologize for the beginning of the show because I was having some technical difficulties with it, and it seems to be working fine now, which I'm glad. But I was very worried at first because I couldn't get everybody online. It would come up just long enough for me to get one, and then I'd go down the line and it would refresh itself over and over. So I had to change the server to be able to get everybody on and actually run the show normally tonight. But
well, you've done a great job. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. I was worried.
Is there anything we need to touch on with the vigil? You know, people that are in the Pennsylvania, Mid-Atlantic region, D.C. area. Location is Route 15, North Deer Drive at William Penn Drive. That vigil begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Time there at the crossroads of Route 15 and William Penn Drive. And then, of course, the rally that begins the following morning on the 7th. At 10 a.m. Is there anything else, Delaney, you want to let them guys know what to bring or anything like that?
Well, they should be somewhat self-contained with the heat. Make sure you bring water for the vigil. It would be helpful if you brought your own candles, snacks, whatever. We're all hardy folks. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the time here. We got about 45 minutes of air time left here, roughly. I'm not quite sure what else to go into. Of course, the website is www.whoisleonardpeltier.info. All the case histories there, like Peter had said, all the current plans of action that are going on. You know, the statements are on the blog from Amnesty International and all the other human rights activist groups that are involved there. I guess that's, you know, the best thing to tell people is to go to the website. That's one of the strongest tools you have to find out about all this stuff. Peter, is there anything you would you'd like to add about gathering more support or anything like that? You know, maybe if someone's out there listening, and maybe they don't have a computer at home or something like that, and they would like to get in contact with you or myself.
I don't know your phone number offhand because it's all cell phone these days, so I'll just give my phone number at 505-301-5423. If anybody wants, you don't necessarily have to be a chapter, but it'd be good if you were in touch with us so we could help keep you informed and, you know, put you into the mix when things are happening and kind of help you along if you're starting out as someone supporting and learning how to get active in these things. One of the easiest things to do is to find to be active in your community. You know, that old bumper sticker, think globally, act locally, really makes a lot of sense, and it really helps spread the word and spread momentum. If you can find a community center or some kind of a facility that allows people to have meetings, you can have, you know, the simplest things you can do to draw people in. Canvassing in itself can be a little bit of an art because you'll be trying to hand out literature, get signatures on a petition, and you'll be approaching people who have no idea who Leonard is. Or if they do, they may have their own opinion that, you know, he's where he deserves to be. And you need to learn how to handle those situations. It can be very tricky at times. You can get confronted, and you need to learn how to just, you know, we're not there to convert people. We're there to provide information for people. And sometimes I've found I actually had one person here, and we go out in the University of New Mexico and set up a table every so often, and one person was pretty combative at first, and I said, listen, I'm not here to argue the case with you. I'm here to provide information. You know, take this with you. Take it home. I can see that you already have your mind made up about Leonard. He's where, you know, and this fellow's opinion was that Leonard is where he belongs. He's guilty. Well, he went home. He did his own research, and it was about 3 months later he called me up, and you know, since then he's been, he doesn't want to be in a chapter per se, but he attends the events, and he's a supporter, and I gave him a bumper sticker, hopefully put it on his car. So there's a, you know, sometimes it takes a long time for things to percolate through people's consciousness. So just providing information in public, however you can, is a great thing. Just, and I've gotten a lot of good responses just wearing my T-shirt around town. I just wore it through the terminal in the airport, and one of the vendors there said, oh, Leonard. And the most common response is, oh, Leonard, I forgot all about him. He's still alive or he's still in prison. I can't believe they didn't let him out. So there are a lot of people, of course, young people who don't know anything about it, but there's a lot of people from my generation, I'm in my mid-40s and older, who have forgotten about Leonard. You know, they saw Walter Cronkite talking about it on the news in the 70s. They may have heard something about appeal in the 80s. They may have heard even something about the parole in 2009, but they, once you remind them, I've seen the switch get clicked in their head, and they realize that, you know, this is something that's wrong and it's still going on. you know, and to get back to solitary confinement, I think my own guess and opinion is that people might be more outraged if their pets were treated as these prisoners are treated. You know, there's so much action on animal rights, and I'm all for that and behind it, but we're treating human beings worse than we would want our pets to be treated. It's just wrong. It's just inhumane. nothing else I can think of at the moment. I don't know if there's a chat room going, but maybe there's some questions from the audience at large.
I do have a chat room going. Sorry,
that's kind of where I get back to is that, no, it's okay. That's kind of where I get to. I run into that a lot. I just ran into that recently in Santa Fe, you know, with some of the Navajo people over there. And there's actually people a lot older than me that were there at the, you know, where they sell their jewelry there. And they thought Leonard was free already. And, you know, I started talking to them about the current conditions, you know, what Leonard's going through right now. And, they were appalled, you know, so I did give them some literature. And that's one of the things is that a lot of people tend to see this as a cause or something like that. And Leonard's a human being, and he's being treated inhumanely, regardless of any prisoner, what their conviction was. Because once you're convicted, it's a nightmare after you've been convicted to get through anything, even if, you know, you're guilty, whether you're innocent, what have you. The bottom line is they're human beings, and they're being treated inhumanely. So that's one of the things that, you know, we have to look at, you know, fine, you know, somebody's in prison, they've done wrong, whatever the case may be, but they still have human rights, and we need to treat them as human beings. And that's part of our goal is to, raise that awareness that Leonard is a human being. He's a person. He's not a cause. He's not a number. He's a human being. And, you know, getting that education out there to people. I run into young people all the time that, you know, they don't know who Leonard is. They don't know the case. And, you know, they're interested. You know, they're interested. A lot of these are college students, you know, that are in different law programs and, you know, political science. And they're interested. And keeping them interested is the hard part, you know. So that's kind of what we try to do as well. And, you know, I'm probably rambling here, trying to hold on to some time here, but I wanted to thank Karen for having us on the show, and I'd like to do some further shows, you know, in the future, you know, for maybe for Leonard's birthday, and that's another thing that people can do, too, is, you know, Leonard's in a real dark place right now, and he can still receive letters and cards,
it's very important that, you know, everybody out there go to the website. It's very visible there, how to write to Leonard, how to send him cards and letters, and continue to do that. You know, send him colorful greeting cards and letters of support, and you know, keep the pressure on the Bureau of Prisons and the Department of Justice. All that information is very easy to get, you know, and as far as anything else goes with starting support chapters or wanting to know more of how you can help, you know, you can, like Peter left his phone number there, you can also email him at lpsupport@whoisleonardpelletier.info, lpsupport@whoisleonardpelletier.info. You can also call me at area code 575-770-8839. And more than likely, you know, I will take calls from 10 a.m. till 3 a.m. If I don't pick up my phone, please leave a message, and I will get back to you. You can also email me at wolfheartlodge@live.com. There's another email address that you can send information to. That's contact@whoisleonardpelletier.info. So never hesitate to call me or email me or email Peter. We do share all our information, so one way or another, you will reach one of us. And that, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to start an official chapter. You know, we encourage public, you know, private support as well. And I'm not sure if there's anything else Delaney would like to touch on about the events or anything like that.
Well, I wanted to welcome Delaney back.
I'm sorry.
Oh, she's back?
Yeah, she's back.
Karen, I'm so sorry. My son had a flat tire and came and got me and said, "Mom, we have a problem." And I nearly fell down. And I said, "Oh, my goodness," because we were right in the middle, and I had to get up and help him get into the driveway.
Oh, that's okay. That's
oh,
understandable.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. It's fine. I knew you would call back when you were able to, and
yeah,
I know you
so
never
sorry.
You never connect unless something's wrong, so
I
it
know.
Was quite okay.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right. Delaney, what was you?
I don't remember. You can also contact the Leonard Pelletier Defense Offense Committee. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 7488. We're in Fargo, North Dakota. The zip code is 58106. The phone number is area code 701-235-2206. We're available to mail information. Obviously, our most important asset is our website. Do visit it and visit it often. That's www.whoisleonardpelletier.info. As was mentioned, we operate a blog. Most updates go on the blog. People can also follow us on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. We definitely have gone high-tech. Like I said, the Internet can be a valuable tool. But we do need people to get out into their communities. One thing people can do is just host a house party. Show the documentary, Incident at Oglala. That is an excellent documentary produced and narrated by Robert Redford. You might also be interested in the documentary titled Warrior, also a very excellent treatment on the case. It's a little easier to digest than some of the books that have been written, but they're pretty comprehensive in terms of the case, and you can learn everything there is to know, pretty much, as well as a little bit about Leonard the man. You know, I mean, we talk about the case a great deal, but, you know, this is a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, and a painter, involved with lots of humanitarian works. He's been nominated for 6 consecutive years for the Nobel Peace Prize. He has won a number of awards, human rights awards, from throughout the world, and we just received some notification of an award that he'll be receiving around his birthday from one of the South American countries. I'm sorry, I forget which one it was. It's information overload some days. So Leonard is recognized throughout the world for who he is and what he does. And frankly, who he is and what he does doesn't quite jive with the government's position. He's very fond of children. He has sponsored orphaned children through the years. And he does that on his own. There's an awful lot of things that Leonard does of a humanitarian nature that doesn't get publicized. He does a lot of things very quietly. He often donates artwork to help other organizations raise funds, like for domestic violence shelters and chemical dependency programs and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And these are things that he has done for years. And frankly, it's a continuation of the work he did on the outside. He used to be a chemical dependency counselor and a job placement counselor. He's done all kinds of things, and he's merely continued a lot of that work from prison. And it's absolutely amazing that he has achieved all he has, given the restrictions he has to deal with on a daily basis.
Wow. Now, if someone wanted to, I know you said that he donated his artwork to help with some the person wanted to purchase a piece of his artwork, where would they go to find it?
Well, we have a page for the artwork on the website, and you can view some of the paintings that are available. Generally, we accept inquiries, if someone's interested in a specific piece, and we will provide a quote at that time. Generally speaking, the inquiries are going to his art agent, and she follows up. There's also another operation that does very high-quality reproductions. It's a process called Gicle. It's sprayed ink, and you have the option of having images put on paper or canvas. I have to tell you, if you hold the canvas ones up against the originals, you can't even tell the difference. That's how good they are. So check out leonardpeltierart.com, and you can see what reproductions are available as well.
Jolene, did you have any questions? We're down to the last 30 minutes, well, last 27 minutes of the show.
Well, my concern of all things has been for many, many years as I traveled the powwow circuit and went to many vendors who support Leonard with heart and soul and want to do something. I believe in my father raised me in our culture that our actions as Native people spoke more loudly than anything in our country. It is our country, and I am very adamant about it. Once I read his book, I already knew the facts from elders and from people who talked to me and told me how they felt. A lot of people are heartbroken that they cannot, even as an individual, let alone all of us together as one, take him out and take him back home to Pine Ridge and where he belongs with his family and his grandchildren and his children. And the one question I have is, isn't there some, I know that we have had walks to Washington, but there can't, in my eyes, there can never be too many. Trying to reach the President of the United States by letter never seems to work. There has to be other avenues, other directions for us to take. I cannot see him staying there another day, another week, another month longer. It hurts inside to see one of your own in your culture suffering when he did not do what they say he did. I know for a fact that he did not do it. And it really hurts. And what I ask and what I want to ask is, what else besides letters and things can we do? Can we put a march again together and walk again together into Washington and demand his release? The more forceful we get, will they understand that we as American Indians aren't going to stand by anymore and watch this happen to him?
Peter, you might be able to touch on that.
I could just say the answer is yes to all the above. The letters have to keep coming. I mean, that's very important, but that's what we've been talking about, and is that people need to get out in the streets, whether it's in their communities, in their regions, organize regional marches. But there does, in my opinion, a great time for that would be, as we spoke of the White House Tribal Nations Conference, or also known as a summit, I believe, in the fall. And Jolene, you're in Virginia, and I would hope that we could see you there in the fall, and we need to get as many people as we can there. It's hard in this economy to get anybody to go anywhere because the fuel costs are so high. Times have been tough for years now economically, and so it's a lot to ask people to get out. To Washington, D.C. is a very expensive town, but if we knew that we were having a large number of people there, we could start contacting and coordinating with different community centers for cots and beds and housing for a large number of people to show up. And that's what really needs to happen is and Delaney mentioned that even with the large march I forget the year, Delaney, where 1,000 showed up in New York City, the media doesn't cover it. So having people show up and not get recognized is a problem too. So there's a lot that goes into it logistically. I've never been a part of any of the walks that have taken place. I do think they are great ideas and powerful, but they are logistical. They can be logistical nightmares in their own. They take a lot of money to do and accomplish. And I guess really with a walk, the timing has to be right. It would have to be where people wound up, if it was to be in D.C., people would have to wind up there when they'll actually be seen and heard. The Congress is out of session quite often in the summer. D.C. is deserted a lot. On Friday afternoons, everybody's gone. They go to the beach or they go to their home, their Camp David and so forth. So there's a lot that goes into that.
What about a powwow then, close here in Williamsburg? If I could arrange for a powwow to be held in direct honor of him and for him, for all the dancers, all the vendors, everything would go to the defense committee if it could be arranged. Like I said, I have traveled the powwows I raised my son in the sweat lodge. I raised my son in the powwows. There isn't one that doesn't go by where I don't sit down and I don't talk to an elder. And there are many of the people that attend those powwows that were at Wounded Knee, and they tell me he didn't do it. He didn't even pick up a firearm. You know, and it's a quiet conversation, but this is what they tell me. And they say he has to come home. He has to go home. He doesn't belong where he is. And we talk so quietly among ourselves about it. And then I got to thinking, well, every powwow that I go to here in Virginia, there's always something about Lennard there. There's a vendor who holds a flag that he's made or written documents, petitions, whatever they may be, they're there. And then I got to thinking, well, what about a powwow just for him? Not, you know, and let the dancers and the warriors get in there and dance and until the sun goes down and make the public understand that it is in benefit of him being held where he is and wrongly and something of that sort. I know it would help. The spirits of everybody would come alive and the warrior in each and every one of us, male and female, would come out, and maybe someone would come up with a better idea than me. That maybe something would work. Maybe someone would have close touch with someone of a higher degree of power that could get as close to President Obama as we possibly could, so that we could talk to him. I know that he has had chiefs and people, federal people, come from the reservations to the White House to visit, but visiting is one thing. Bringing up a subject that needs to be discussed intensely is another. And I thought of, you know, a powwow in dedication to Lennard.
Well, we would encourage you to follow through on that idea. Basically, these days, the committee doesn't say no to any idea.
Right.
Every idea that anyone has value. And
right.
We would encourage everyone to pursue those ideas. I think everybody, you know, has their own vision of what may work. We're not in the position of saying, no, that won't work. You know?
Right.
I think as long as there's a possibility that something could be that effective, you know, then we should attempt anything and everything. Because time is getting short.
Yes, it is.
And also long for Lennard. So,
yes,
basically, anybody who wants to pursue an idea like that, please do.
Do it.
Please
do it.
This is something I may be able to work. Excuse me. I'm trying to catch your first name again.
Me? I'm Jolene,
yes,
Brightson.
Jolene?
Jolene.
Okay.
Jolene. Bright. Son, I'm Bright Son.
Okay. All right, because we do have some people in the Virginia area, and
yeah.
What I'd like to do is I gave my phone number there, and I'll give it to you again.
Okay.
It's area code. If you have something to write with there.
I'm grabbing it as fast as I can.
Okay.
When my son came in and told me that, I about fell down, and I said, no, it can't happen now, and it did, sure enough did. I deeply apologize.
Because it'll be easier for... Okay. Yeah, it'll be easier for us to, at some point, get on the phone here, and we can talk about that.
Okay.
My area code is 575.
575.
770.
770.
8839.
8839. I have it.
Right. Now, you know, we have ran into situations at the powwows where
you know, there's always somebody there that supports Leonard, and that's good. And
yes.
You know, there's always banners, and you know, and of course you can use the website to download publications and the petitions and print those out and get those ready for yourself.
I know so many
people.
You know, I know people here in Virginia that were at Wounded Knee. You know that
okay.
No. And this, there's some. If you were to sit with them quietly and hear them talk, the ones that were there, the ones that stood with Dennis and Russell Means
right.
And hear them talk, they know the truth. They know, and they tell
right.
it quietly, you know, among themselves.
Okay, because that's what I'd like to do here in the near future. Because everything's kind of real hectic right now with the vigil going on and. Trying to put together a clemency campaign. But I'd say within the next, by midweek of next week, you know, or something, anytime you can give me a call. And if I don't pick up, of course, leave a message with your name.
Okay.
And I'll get back to you. But I would like to talk to you further about that here in the next few days or so, whenever. And maybe we can get you in contact with some of our Virginia people. And
right.
Sounds like to me that you have some kind of connection within the powwow circuit there in Virginia.
I do.
And
I
know,
raised
can put
my
something
son.
Together.
Yes,
right.
I have been active all my life. My father raised me. My father took my hand and walked me into the powwow when I was young. And then when my son came into this world, I did the same with my son. And only he was raised in the sweat lodge from the diapers on, and he ran around. He became a fire keeper when he was 16 years of age, and he is a very sacred young man and very sacred and loves Mother Earth and also lives in his heart by the lodge. And everyone in the powwow at the powwows here in Virginia watched him grow up from a little tot on, and of course, you know, watched me raise him. And I know a lot of people everywhere, and there are those that came down from Pine Ridge at one time to visit all of us at our powwow that we had here, and I got to know them, and it was wonderful. It was.
Okay, what is the powwow season running there? Because I'm not real familiar with the powwow circuit, so I would not know when your powwows are taking place in that area.
The next one is actually in about 2 weeks. Over at the Nansemum Powwow. It's called the Nansemum Powwow, and
okay.
It is in Chuckatuck. But our one that we actually really do attend and really get together is called the Chickahominy Powwow, and that's in
okay.
September, and it's in the first 2 weeks of September.
Oh, okay.
But
so we got some time here. Okay.
Oh, yes, we got time, and not only that, I don't know if you have ever heard of Swamp Rat, but
yes.
You have? Good.
Yes.
Well, he is my son's father, and he is very active in wanting Leonard free. I guess you know that. And
yeah.
It's something he and I discuss very quietly among ourselves.
Do you have a computer at home?
My son does. My son has
okay.
a laptop. My father raised me so old-fashioned, in the old-fashioned
right.
traditional ways, that he said that
okay.
the, he believed in the stamp and a post office and a letter. And I don't have a computer. I'm sorry.
Okay. Are you on your son's computer? Are you able to print material? Do you have a printer?
No. He doesn't have
okay.
a printer.
All right, we can work with you on that.
Okay.
Because that's what I'd like to do sometime here in the near future, is get on the phone with you and talk
okay.
about that, start putting you in contact with some people. And we'll talk about a few other things.
Okay.
And, you know, but the biggest thing right now would be to spend as much, you know, because you're obviously pretty well versed in Leonard's case history and everything, but spend some time on the website looking for some things, like under publications. All that stuff's
okay.
on the left-hand side on the sidebar.
Okay.
And you can download and print out petitions, brochures. On the publications link is where you'll find all the brochures that we hand out in our communities. And under petitions, you can also download and print those out. And we can work with you on that at some time. And if you're not able to get those, I may be able to put some of those together and get those in the mail to you.
Okay.
I do that periodically for folks that don't have printers. But I'm not quite sure if there's anything else Karen would like to ask or anyone else that's still there. And just, you know, urging everybody to just spend as much time on that website as possible. Donate if you can. And also remember there's a merchandise shop also on the website where you can order T-shirts and bumper stickers and buttons and things of that nature. And that'll also, of course, lead you to Leonard's artwork as well. I'm not sure if Peter's still there, if he wants to touch on anything else, or if Delaney's still there.
Yeah, I'm still here, and I think Delaney is too. I just wanted to encourage Delaney to pursue that idea of a powwow specifically dedicated to that. Because, as you said, out of that, that's how networking takes place, and out of that could come, let's try and make it a powwow in Washington, D.C. for Leonard. You know,
thank
right
you.
D.C. Oh. Yeah. You can always get a permit for different parks there. One being the Ellipse, right behind the White House. If you have a large power out there, and one older activist that I talked to said that that's what needs to happen is we need to reactivate the old activists for Leonard specifically. The quiet talks that you speak of need to be loud. They need to be heard. These people need to be heard. And so the more you can do to encourage that, we'd all be very grateful. I would be grateful for that.
I would add
the need to involve the young people. We do have a couple of teen chapters, which is a very new thing for the committee. It's time for the generations after Leonard.
Exactly.
To get active in this fight because he is their relative as well. And, as was said, many of the young people, you know, whether it's college, high school, you know, they hear about this case and they get really concerned and they want to know how they can help as well.
My son is very, 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 when it comes to discussions like this, with all that has occurred tonight, nevertheless, he himself has sat at the sweat lodges. He talks about it quite often. He read, after I handed him Leonard's book, he sat in his room and read it, and he's very... If he could, and I say this because I know this is his heart, if there were a way into, and this is how he feels, if there were a way in, he'd go in and get Leonard and bring him out, and he would dare anybody to step in front of him. That's the kind of heart he has. And he has been in the powwows and around all the elders all of his entire life. And he is very, very adamant about things when it comes to freeing him. He has sat back as a young person, and he is of the seventh generation. That's why he is so taken into the powwows, because he knows that his responsibility is to watch for the next seven generations, since he was born the seventh generation child. And they look to him now to be a leader, not a follower. And his intention is to be just that, a warrior and a leader. And he's not afraid to speak up, and he's not afraid to speak out. When President Obama wanted a vote in an election, they were calling my house for my son to come and vote for him, because it was my son's first time at age 18 able to vote. And every 5 minutes my phone was ringing, Is Robert ready to come down to the voting station? Is he ready? Can you get him down here? President Obama would like his vote. And I said, well, is he there? I had to ask, you know, I mean, what is the rush? And they said it's just that he wants to know that he was, you know, that Robert voted, because it would have been my son's very first time. Well, I got my son there in about 5 minutes. And we went through different doors that other people weren't going through, which I didn't understand. They were actually standing in the parking lot waiting, because they had, many of them had knocked on my door and said, we'd like to know how you're going to vote. And I turned around and said, I'd like to know what you're going to do for my people. That was my main purpose. What are you going to do for the American Indians? We ended up, of course, obviously voting for the man. I expect him to do something for us.
Exactly. Right. You know, we are now down to the last 4 minutes of the show.
Okay.
So do you want to get the websites back out there one more time before we end?
Okay. All right. That's www.whoisleonardpeltier.info. That's the website address that you can go to, and just click on the enter button, and that'll take you to the home page, and you can find all the information there that you'll need to make contact with us, and of course to donate. And like Delaney said, and Peter said, that there's a space there on the left hand side where you can contact your state representatives, senators, congresspeople. You'll get that, and you know that information will come right up for you, and you can contact them and write letters of support for Leonard there. I'm not sure if Peter or Delaney has anything else to add.
I just want to wish Delaney a really successful weekend, and give Leonard our best.
Yes.
I'm going to be able to visit him this week.
Very much so.
Yes, I will be seeing him tomorrow morning. So, actually, there's a whole team of lawyers in town, so we'll actually keep him out of that cell for most of tomorrow.
Great.
Beautiful. Please tell him there are prayers the words Matakiyasin, they mean something, and it, all our relations. And he lives in our hearts.
Please, and he knows him. That. He actually knows that. He walks every day with that belief. He feels everyone's spirit. He's always very grateful for the cards and letters. Do, as Peter said, keep those coming, because that helps keep his spirits up during these very difficult times.
Difficult time.
And he just loves everybody to share their lives with him. So, you know, it lets him kind of live another life, I think, to hear what people are doing out here, and how people are still fighting and carrying on the struggle for indigenous peoples in this hemisphere.
That's right.
Well, tell him that we send our support to him. And
yes, I will.
Oh, thank you. I want to thank everybody for coming on tonight, and again, I apologize for the start of the show, because there was some problems, but I hope that that everything goes well tomorrow, and it brings a lot of support, and maybe, hopefully they'll listen. I hope they listen. So.
Well, thank you, Karen and Jolene. It was nice speaking with you both. The first
thank
time we've
you.
Ever spoken. It's nice meeting you on the phone.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you very much. Thank you
welcome.
For your understanding.
And again, you're all welcome
all right.
to come back on at any time.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that soon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
All right, everybody, you guys have a good night. And, you know, just continue to send those emails, phone calls, and letters to President Obama, the Attorney General, the Department of Justice, Bureau of Prisons, and just keep writing to Leonard. And, you know, if you ever need any help, my phone number's out there. My email address is out there. I'll do anything I can to help you guys.
Okay. And I'm going to see what I can do about a powwow, get a powwow just for him and a support powwow. And I think it will work. I know it will. The hearts of those dancers and the hearts of everyone, they will beat faster and harder, and it will mean more than it has ever meant before.
That's great. And Michael and Delaney and myself and my wife Barbara will help you in any way we can logistically and spreading the word and everything. So
thank you.
We'll keep in touch.
Okay, we will.
Good night.
Thank you, ladies. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I am everyone who ever died. Without a voice or a prayer or a hope or a chance. Everyone who ever suffered for being an Indian, for being human, for being indigenous, for being free, for being other, for being committed. I am every one of them.